Sometimes there was Pusking the Terror, which shows the philosophy of Yadis. The pasuk says, Kisira Hamor Sonacha Rovates Tachas Maso'o. That's in the Shpatim, yesterday's surgery. The Chodalto Me'azovlo Ozov Tazovimo. Okay? What? So the pasuk means you'll see the donkey of your enemy. Rovets Tachas Maso'o. So the donkey's overburdened and he can't go. So the chadalta me'azovlo, you refrain from assisting him. Azov tazovimo. So it's a funny pasuk. What do you mean the chadalta me'azovlo? You refrain, and then it says azov tazov. So Rashi says lashon bitnia. The chadalta me'azovlo, azov tazovimo. Okay. But I was thinking of another pshat. The Chodalto Me'azov Lo is really a description of human nature. It means to say, and it shows you part of the philosophy and psychology of Torah. That the Chodalto Me'azov Lo means, no, that's the natural response. Natural response is the Chodalto Me'azov Lo. That's what human nature is. But the mitzvah is ozov tazov imo, to overcome that emotion. And Tirgum Unkelos runs up shot. So the reisechazei chamora desanoch reviat chos toane. This is timna mila mishbagle. You refrain from helping him. So he says mishbak tishbok ma devalibach alohi usefarek ime. You should leave that which is in your heart about him, concerning him, and you should help him. In this pasuk, you really see the yesod of the approach, the psychology of Yadis. Now, Yadis doesn't deny a person's emotions. Yadis doesn't deny a person. Goyim deny a person's emotions. Goyim try to obliterate the emotion from a person's nature, which is an impossible task. Impossible task. Yadis tells you, no, there's an emotion, you're going to have this emotion, it's a natural thing. He's your enemy, you dislike him. Personal reasons, you hate him, you don't like him. So naturally, because the pasuk says chamor sonacha. Sonacha means it's a personal, it doesn't mean a real sonah. Real sonah means if he's a sonah Yisrael, then there's not the person I'm talking about. Talking about him personally, you don't like him personally. So you don't like him personally, the natural human reaction is that you don't want to help him. You dislike him. You see he's going under, so you might even be happy about it. No, ozov tazov imo. You should overcome that emotion. That's Yadis. You should recognize the emotion and overcome it. Not to deny the emotion. That's a tremendously important yesod in Yadis.
That would be good if
tremendously important.
Individual.
Situation in those days would be the same thing as if a person saw an individual's car was broken down the highway. That's the same thing. That's the same situation. Yeah. Of a pigeon pet hamor. Because the hamor played a central role in the life of the people. So that's why it's only the hamet's mayor that you have pigeon by. Okay. So that's what it means. It means it was broken down and it means he can't travel. He's unable to travel. It'd be the same thing in today's society with a person's car broke down. So, ozov tazov imo. That's the halacha. Unfortunately, I would say that one of the biggest detriments to a person's perfection is the fact, in our society, is the fact that we're raised with such a type of way of thinking, which we acquired from the goyim. By yisavru b'goyim, by yomu b'maisam. Pasuk says in Tehillim. And unfortunately, that's something which is, it's a difficult thing because it poses as a type of perfection, presents itself as a type of perfection to the human mind that I even deny. You know, on the contrary, I don't even have that emotion. I don't even want to admit that I have such an emotion. So it presents itself in disguise as a type of perfection. But really, it's the most detrimental attitude. And Yadis recognized it as the most dangerous attitude. And if you see by the goyim what happened to them with all their denial, you see how they performed the worst ritzicha, the worst evil was performed by the goyim because of the fact that they had the ability to deny their emotions, It's something which is very tempting. You know, Chazal says by when Yaakov was wrestling with the Malach. Chazal say, Kidmus Talmud Chacham Niralo. Kidmus Talmud Chacham Niralo. That this Malach appeared like a Talmud Chacham. Had the appearance of a Talmud Chacham. So what does it mean? It means that the Yetzer Hara doesn't always appear as an evil kind of force. People expect that. People are looking out for the Yetzer Hara that appears as an evil kind of force. But sometimes it's Kidmus Talmud Chacham Niralo. Sometimes the Yetzer Hara appears as an appearance and a veil of religiosity. Veil of religiosity. And that is the most dangerous. That's the most dangerous Yetzer Hara. That's why the Pasuk says that V'chadalta me'azov lo doesn't say to deny it. It doesn't say to deny this emotion. No, you should recognize the emotion. But he says, Mishbak kishbok ma devaliba halohim. You should leave that emotion. This is in your heart. But leave that emotion and act in accordance with justice. In accordance with objective righteousness, true righteousness. That's the pasuk in the Torah. An important pasuk. Part of Mishpatim. Mishpatim was the first thing that was given after Matan Torah. So you see, it's an important yourself. It's a big ma'akev, insofar as tshuva is concerned. Biggest ma'akev in tshuva is where a person can't be makir, doesn't want to be makir. Akar asachet, the first step. Akar asachet is the very first step. If there's no akar asachet, so there's no tshuva. And why doesn't a person have akar asachet? Because he denies his emotions. It's the whole philosophy of the Goyim, whole philosophy of Christianity, based on this kind of an approach. And it's the most detrimental kind of thing. We suffer from it because we're raised in that kind of a society. It's against the others. That's the Golus. The Golus took us away from our true ideas. Okay. Yes. The Torah is not concerned with getting this person off the road. I mean, to get him in a situation where he can get back on the road. I mean, that's not the purpose. The purpose is to improve, to perfect an individual. How do you perfect an individual? The only way to perfect them is when he creates a supremacy of chokhma, of knowledge, over his base emotions. That's perfection. If he doesn't recognize the emotion, there's no perfection at all. That's not perfection. He just doesn't recognize the emotions. What kind of perfection is it? Perfection means when you recognize the emotion, you give it its proper appreciation and recognition, and then in spite of it, you go ahead against the emotion and you do exactly what the objective justice demands. That's perfection. The person denies it, it's true, we'll do the same action. But the Torah isn't concerned simply about getting this person on the road again. Person is not just a miser. This is a mitzvah of perfection. The moment a person denies an emotion of his, it means that emotion is capable of expressing itself in other areas without his knowledge. That's like the Goyim. I mean, it's like the Goyim. I mean, they deny the fact that they have any hatred towards anybody, because they maintain that they're the religion of love, and because of that, they were able to viciously massacre people without any sense of any compunction whatsoever, because they were capable of denying the fact that they're doing it because of their base emotions. The same thing with the it started with the Goyim, and the climax of that was Nazi Germany. That was the ability beyond even human imagination to carry through that approach. The truth of the matter is that Nazi Germany was based on Christianity. If it wasn't for Christianity, I don't think you could have had a Nazi Germany. that mentality of the Nazi was didn't just come about instantaneously. It came about through a long process of years, generations, and centuries of denial of man's nature. That's what it was based on. So was he for that? They could not have had it. That's the destructive philosophy. Most destructive philosophy. The Gaian Christians did it on a small scale, crusades and countless other occasions. But the Nazis brought it to a point. I mean, like I said, it was beyond belief. But it was based upon the same approach. Person's ability to deny the richness that exists in his nature. That's the premise. I was often the Nazis walked around like it, as if they were respectable people.
You're doing good.
Yeah, scientific, respectable people. Yeah. The Torah, by giving mitzvahs, like Rambam says, mitzvahs, the rice, the rabbanans, is a means of causing a person to recognize that he's off the path if it bothers him. If a person has trouble with a mitzvah, it's a very important symptom. It means a person has trouble doing a mitzvah. The purpose of the mitzvah is to put a person into the proper track. So that means if a mitzvah is difficult for a person, it means that he has to examine his psyche. There's something wrong with him. Mitzvah should not be difficult. A mitzvah is a burden. He can't do it. If this mitzvah bothers him, it's a sign that he has to investigate his nature. There's no mitzvah in the Torah that should be a burden to an individual. A person should feel it's difficult. I don't like this mitzvah. This mitzvah bothers me. The person has that feeling, that means that he has to examine his nature. There's something wrong. It's a symptom. God created a system. That's what the Rambam means. That God created a system in which a person will be on the proper channel, will be in the golden mean. Means to say that if there's a mitzvah, the Torah is a fantastic system. Because it's diagnostic. It's a diagnostic system. If a mitzvah disturbs you, then there's something detrimentally wrong. And you have to look into it. If you don't look into it, you're avoiding perfection. That's what the Rambam means. The mitzvahs were created in that way. But there is no mitzvah in the Torah that is difficult for a person. That should be difficult for a person who's perfected in terms of the psyche. In terms of the psyche. I'm not talking about philosophically, just in terms of the psyche. No mitzvah in the Torah. I'm glad you mentioned this point. It's a very important point. It means like this. It means to say, that's what Rabbi Akiva meant, Zekwa Gadol Latera, and that's what Hillel told the guy, and he wasn't saying it facetiously. He meant it, that the essence of the Torah is Vahpa Recha Kamacha. It means to say the most powerful emotion, that a person lives with is the emotion of the fact, the emotion concerning the fact that he is a special kind of individual, and that all his friends consist of those people who share his psychological makeup. In other words, cliques, friends, personal, this is my group. And there's another person whose personality is not similar. You know, right away the people will find lists. Of course, they'll justify it by lists of faults that these other people have. But basically, it's an egocentric concept. The friends that a person have are really extension of his ego. Why? Because he can't be alone. I mean, alone he knows is crazy. He's Meshuggah. He's the only one in the world. Nobody else is worthy of communicating with him. And that everybody recognizes impossible. And besides, he needs friends. So he takes friends that are similar to him psychologically, or that appeal to him psychologically, I should say, and these are his cronies. And the people who aren't in that group are considered enemies, and are considered worthless. And he therefore favors his friends, and he shows disfavor towards those who are not in that clique, not in that group. That whole system, of course, is a system of society. It's the basic sociological reality. But the fact is that reality, which is so powerful, the most powerful force, is really connected to Torah. As the Torah demands that a person should look at individuals with only one barometer. What's the barometer? Barometer is Shemir Satara. Shemir Satara, that's the barometer. If a person is a Shemir Satara mitzvah, you have to love him as much as you love your best friend, even though psychologically you dislike him, you don't like his personality, he said this to me, he said that, all these nonsense kind of things. Nonsense things. See? The Torah demands that a person abandon this kind of psychological framework. And it's the most difficult thing, because it's true. What you said is right. Because it has to do with the ego. Because if a person takes pride essentially in the self, what is the self? The self is really, how do you distinguish yourself between, how do you distinguish one person from another person? Psychological makeup. His likes, in short, it's like Shlomo HaMelech says. When Shlomo HaMelech says about the Mason, he says, the generation died, he says, Gam avosom, gam sin osom kvar avaro. Their hates, their dislikes, their likes and their dislikes are gone. What does it mean? It means their whole identity. Because how does a person identify himself? He identifies himself in terms of his likes and dislikes. You'll see people will say, you'll talk about anything. Talk about music. This music is great. And, hey, you like that? How do you talk about it? Or food or anything. Anything which people like. They consider what they like is objective reality. And anyone that dislikes that has to be crazy. You see? So why is that so? Why is that? Because the self is identified as that part of the human psyche which has likes and dislikes. Because that's me. What am I? Why am I? How am I unique? How am I different than anybody else? Because I like it. So I have a sum total of my likes and my dislikes. That's me. That's my essence. So therefore, those who partake of that kind of an essence are living in reality. Those who don't partake of that essence are crazy. You see? But the Yadis demands that a person rise up, even though it's a very strong identification. What's identification? Identification is the source of all friendship. Why is identification? Because people like people who see that they have similar likes and dislikes, they identify with each other. And it forms a powerful bond. This kind of a love, though, is nothing more than an extension of the love of the self. You understand? It's only an extension of the love of the self. Yadis demands that a person rise above that level. And he recognizes that the essence of a person is a metaphysical essence. Metaphysical essence. It's not a psychological essence. It's a metaphysical essence. Where's the metaphysical essence expressed? It's expressed in the system of Torah. Those who keep the Torah, you are obligated to have only love for. What kind of a love? V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Whether personally he's in your frame of reference or he's not in your frame of reference makes absolutely no difference. And conversely, a person is your best friend. If he's in violation of the system, there's mitzvah la'abdol l'sono. Surrounds it. Mitzvah la'abdol l'sono. What kind of a sin is it? A different kind of a sin. It's not a sin. It's not a personal sin. This is essential. Essential. The sociological element really involves the very essence of a perception of what metaphysical reality is. That's where it lies. That's where it lies. If a person can't get along being odom machavero, there's something detrimental in his being odom lamakom. Has to be that way. Something very wrong there. Something very wrong in terms of perfection. Yes. Even if he's not a shalma halacha, the Rambam says in Hilchos Mamrim. Does the Rambam say in Hilchos Mamrim? Get a Rambam over there. Listen. Right. Of course. Rabbi's right. By nakama lasikim v'lasitor. The same thing, but it's expressed on the other, it's expressed in another facet, another expression. I tell you something personally. If you want to see you could see from this pasuk and from in Kedoshim that the only way really to have a society in which there's shalom is only if people partake of this principle. It's impossible to have shalom in a society unless you partake of this principle. If you don't partake of this principle, it cannot be shalom. It's absolutely impossible. There can be degrees of tolerance, but not shalom. See? Shalom is only possible. You can see just from these mitzvahs, you can see the ingenuity of Torah. The ingenuity of Torah. The Torah gave us a system in which it hit right on the head the precise formula that's absolutely necessary in order to have a society where there's true shalom. It's based upon one thing, It's based upon a removal of the whole idea of shalom based upon identification due to psychological makeup, and it's an establishment of a new kind of identification, which is based upon the keeping of the Torah mitzvahs. That's what it is. As long as you don't have that principle, it's impossible to have any concept of peace. Absolutely impossible. Absolutely impossible. That's because identification is too powerful an emotion. And that's the identification based on some kind of properties. What are the properties? The properties are one thing: commitment to Allah. That's what it is. Terry, you could see the godless Torah just from this alone. Take a look at Parshas Kedoshim. Sikon v'Leisita, all those mitzvahs. It's unbelievable. When you read that Parsha, you see every emotion is addressed. And the only way to really create a society, which is a great society, which is a society that lives in harmony, in true harmony, is only through those mitzvahs. Every emotion over there is touched upon. And if you don't correct those emotions, impossible. That is the formula and the only possible formula for a good society. He says, a person that's in moda, person that's not moda in Torah Shabbat Peh, the chlala pekursin, Okay. The first expression of kfir is always in Torah Shabbat Peh. That's the first step. Kitzadok Abaisas, V'chein Kol HaTorah Machra. But the Rambam says, now what does this mean? It means the Rambam says, Aval B'nei HaToim Ha'ela, the children of these people who were originally mistaken, the Rambam says, U'B'nei B'neihem, and their grandchildren, Sheidichu Osam Avosam, that their parents pushed them away from Torah, the noldu ben akaroyim, and they were born to the karoyim. The gidlu osam al daitam, and they raised them with their ideas, which are against Torah. Harehu ketinok shenishba b'neiha. He's like a tinok that was captured. He says, the gidlu ve'ein azor is lechos bedarkei hamitzvah sharehu ka'onos. V'afal pisha shama achakach sheyehudi. Even though he heard he's a Jew, v'ra'a yehudim v'dasam, and he saw Jews, and he saw the halacha. This person is considered an honest because he was raised with mistaken notions concerning Yadus. Ram differentiates that you have to have a person has to have identity certainly with a Jew that Sherma Torah Mitzvahs. But even with a Jew that's not Sherma Torah Mitzvahs, if the reason that he's not Sherma Torah Mitzvahs is why, is because he was raised with wrong notions, wrong ideas. By people who had wrong concepts, and their children and their grandchildren, even though later this person sees that there's such a thing as a Jew, and he sees there's a halachic system, he still is not culpable. He's still not considered to be blamed. Why? Because a person's early upbringing has a tremendous effect on him, and he can't extricate himself from it. So you can't blame such an individual. You can't blame such a person, and you're mechuyif to merachem on him, and you're mechuyif to show kindness to him and try to draw him with darkei shalom towards the true ideas. That's the halacha. Only an individual who proclaims his disbelief for Torah, based upon his false notions and his own arrogance, following his daito akala, that person's considered a Russian. That person's considered a true Russian. There is no identification. There is no identification. He's machlala perkusim, and he's subject to a serious effects. But that is not because of a personal hatred towards him, but on the contrary. That's because of the love of Klal Yisrael. That's the reason. Okay. People don't consider these crimes too serious, but most people really feel that the main thing is physical well-being and what they consider quote happiness. I mean, but if a person has an appreciation of what MS is and what the value of MS, the person has, he has to have a hatred towards someone who takes away the opportunity from such an individual. Have to have a feeling of hatred towards someone. It's not a personal hatred. It's a hatred towards evil. So therefore, Moshe Feinstein was a good lador, and a good lador is a different kind of view than a yachid. Yachid is a small parameter, small view. A gadol sees the klal. Responsibility of the klal is on his shoulders, and because of that, he thinks in terms of the klal. Very few people really think in terms of the klal. People think in terms of themselves, individuals. But a gadol thinks in terms of the klal. The klal is on his shoulders. It's a burden. He's constantly concerned about it. Moshe Rabbeinu, as far as pasuk say, "Anochi Arisias Omer Zeh, Anochi Matil Kisama Laisa Eyu V'Chaykecha Kasher Yisa Omer Nesayonek." And that's a real gadol. That's a gadol. A gadol is a person that feels a responsibility and a compassion for the klal. And when he sees a destructive force in the klal, it irritates him. It causes him to be angered. It's an anger that stems from the godless Adam. It's an anger that stems from the godless Adam, which most people can't appreciate. Can't appreciate that. But Moshe was a godly Yisrael, and he sensed that. That's why he was so angry about the conservative rabbi. Yes. There aren't too many real upper person, genuine upper person. I mean, aren't too many. Well, no, you're right. The same thing is true if a person is raised in a house where Torah is not presented properly, and because of that, he develops a sin of a Torah. It's not his fault. The more we understand from Torah, even about something like the shlichus of Moshe Rabbeinu, it perfects us. We're not in the situation of Moshe Rabbeinu. We're not on that level, but nevertheless, it's sula mutzav artzav roshem agesh amaymo. I mean, we benefit from the knowledge. That's why the Torah told us all these incidents. Even though we're not on that level, there's some correction that takes place in our mind. Some change that takes place in our mind when we understand as much as we can of the story of the individual, stories of the individuals in the Torah, like Moshe Rabbeinu. So, the basic question is, I would say, with regard to the beginning of Moshe Rabbeinu's Shlichus, is the first sequence of events that you have here. All right? Let's take a look. It says in Shemos, so first of all, it talks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu first engaged Moshe Rabbeinu with regard to the snack. So what he did was Vayaskem Oshapanov, and then with the snare, with the incident of the snare, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs Moshe to go and to be a shaliach, take Kol Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Now Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, turned down the shlichus several times. He turned down the shlichus. Mi'anochi keilech al paro, and then God answered him. Wasn't enough. He kept on asking. He kept on asking questions. And Chazal say was over a period of 7 days. Chazal say the pasuk says, "Vayam Hashem bi Hashem lo ish dvar manochi." That's Dalad Yud. Gam mitzmol, gam mishulshem, gam meoz daber chol avdecha. The pasuk says openly, "How many days? 3." But Chazal and I was 7. Okay, but anyways. You see that Moshe Rabbeinu tried his best to get out of the shlichus. Somebody mentioned to me made a good joke. Like I said, the Gemara says that when Moshe Rabbeinu saw Kadosh Baruch Hu was writing Ksarim on the Osios. So Moshe Rabbeinu. Ask God, Mimakev al Yadcha. Who's preventing you from giving the Torah? Why do you have to write these Ksarim for? The Torah is perfected, And that's it. Give it already. What are you writing the Torah for? Who's ma'akev you from giving the Torah now? So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, no, he says, there's going to be somebody, L'sof HaDoros, after many generations, and his name is Akiva. And he's going to be darshening these, ksarim, what these ksarim mean, what every kesa stands for. So, Moshe Rabbeinu asked God, can I see him? I think, right? So God showed him Rabbi Akiva, and he couldn't understand what he was, what he was learning. So Moshe Rabbeinu said to God, he says, Yesh lecha adam kazeh, you have a person like this, and you give the Torah through me? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Gzeri mafana. But it's an interesting medrash. What does the medrash say? The medrash says that it meant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu perfected the theoretics of the Torah to such a degree. Why to such a degree? I mean, he perfected the theoretics of the Torah to such a degree because of a Rabbi Akiva. So you see another thing from this. It's an interesting thing. You see that, well, what did Moshe Rabbeinu ask God? He says, Yesh lecha adam kazeh, you have a person like this, so why don't you give the Torah through him instead of through me? I give you a simple answer. It's very simple. Because he didn't exist till Sefer Deris. Right? He didn't exist till Sefer Deris. That's why I couldn't give it. Wasn't the right time to give the Torah was Tzitzis Mitzrayim, not in the time of Rabbi Akiva. Okay, what's the answer? Yeah, what's the answer? All right, what's the answer? The answer is that the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu existed in that time was an act of Hashgach. Have you got a Rambam in the first level going around? You can't get me a Rambam in the first level. The first Rambam. Aleph. In Hilchos Avodas Kochavim, he says, She'osa Moshe. You see, it was an act of Hashgach. That's how Moshe Ben Kasha was the Kasha. Umeavas Hashem Osanu, it's the Perek Aleph of Kochavim. Umishomras Hashvur LaAvram Avinu, Osa Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabban Shekol HaNavim V'Shulcho. Means it was Hashgach. It wasn't just. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the most perfected of the human species that would exist, and he caused them to exist in that time. That's what it means. That's what the pasuk means. Vatero so kitovu. This is Malaya Bias Ora. It means it was Hashgach. It means it was Hashgacha that he should exist at that time. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu is God. It's Hashgacha that I should exist at that time. So we could have taken Rabbi Akiva. So somebody mentioned it. Said, how come Rabbi Akiva was deeper in Halacha? They said, because Moshe Rabbeinu was so busy with the Shlichus. That's why he turned it down. He's too busy. Okay. At any rate. So first he turned it down. Then it says like this. Then it says that, okay, so he objected, finally accepted. Then it says like this. It says, an interesting thing. Right after that, it says, so he went back. Okay, next pasuk. You should do them in front of Pharaoh. Okay, and in the same thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him before. Vaniyat in Perek Gimel Pasuk Yutes. He says Pasuk Yutes. He told him you should tell what you do is like this. You should go to Melech Mitzrayim and you say Hashem Elokei Mikra Aleinu. We have to go 3 days in the desert. The Nizbuch HaLashem HaLakeinu. And what did God say, though? He's not going to let you go. Paro is not going to let you go. I'm telling you. Until he gets all the Nisim, he gets smitten with the Nisim, then he'll let you go. But he's not going to let you go. Okay. So then, the shalach teis yadav ikasius misayim b'chol niflos asher esa b'kib rachvei chayin shalachem. I got you? Okay. Then again over here he says, b'lech t'chol vash misayim re'ei kol amos shalachem v'idecho sasil v'infar v'ni chazik asliba v'lo yishalach asam. Okay. V'amarto paro, ko amar Hashem, b'ni b'chori Yisrael, v'omar lecha shalachas b'ni v'yavdeini, v'atamoyim l'shalcho. Yinei anochi yorgas b'ncho b'charecha. Okay, yinei anochi b'ncho b'charecha. Yep. It's a reference to Marcus Bacharis. Marcus Bacharis. Okay. Then a strange thing. Next pasuk. Vayiva derech mamalon. Vayiv kishay Hashem levak Hashem iso. What is this? Sudden transition. Here he has the shlichus ready. Next thing you know, he's on the malon, and God wants to kill him. Vatikach tzipora tzor. Okay, so I'm not going to go into the. And she cut off the orla of Eliezer. And Vatagal Raglav Shal Moshe, and that was it. Okay, Chasan Domim, Chasan Domim Mulos. I'm not going to go through the whole parsha. But what's the connection? It's a connection. Well, what's the answer? Well, the answer like this. The answer is, the Gemara Chazal say, what does it mean he didn't do Mitzvah Smila? Chas V'Sholom, that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't perform Mitzvah Smila. But since he was on the Derech, he wasn't supposed to perform, was a Kabbalah, was a Mesorah, B'Yodom, the Ibn Ezra says, that they didn't do Mila when they're on the derech, was sakana. That's what the hell was a sakana. It was a mesorah, it was a sakana. Do it on the derech.
Oh,
So it was until he came. So what happened was when he came to the malon, instead of doing mila right away when he stopped, but it was nisasek b'malon tchila, nisrashel, because it was nisasek b'malon tchila. So first, let me get the place to stay. And then I'll do the mila. So with Miss Rasha. So what does that have to do with this? I would just say this much. You know, I mean, talking about, we can't talk about the chet of Moshe Rabbeinu. You understand me? But the one thing I would say is like this, without saying too much, say that what is mila really? Mila was the bris of Rav. Bris Avram, Mila is the Bris Avram. I mean, that's the essence of Yadus, of Yehudi, is a mol. Mila is the only mitzvah say, which you chayev kares on, besides Pesach, but that's also, of course, the same thing. Okay, so Mila is really the Bris Avram. What was Machayev Moshe Rabbeinu in the Shlichus? The Bris Avram. Bris Avram was the Machayev. The Bris Avram was the Machayev. So when Moshe Rabbeinu argued with HaKadosh Baruch Hu for 7 days, so there was no Chiyuv Nisi. He argued, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had patience with him, and he answered his kashas and he convinced him. But when he was in the Srashel Bris Avram, then he was Chiyuv Nisi. But I'm saying is that the Machayev, when he was Nisrashel in the Machayev of the Shlichus, then he was Chayev Nisrashel. That's the continuity. Okay. Let's get back to the, what I want to take up is like this. That what happened was like this. So what happened was, as you know, so Moshe Rabbeinu went to Paro, and Paro got even more angry. Loma Moshe Rabbeinu Tafir Somi Masa. Bechulus V'lo Seicha. Right? In fact, he did not want to go on the mission. Because he didn't want to go on the mission, he had a certain type. It affected his relationship to the Machayev of the mission, which was Mitzvah Mila, which was Bris Avram. Because the Bris Avram was that which was Machayev him, was the Machayev. And because of the fact that he did not want to go on the mission, it caused some kind of change in attitude insofar as the Machayev is concerned. And that's why it was Nisrashel. You understand what I mean?
You're saying it's not random that this mitzvah he had a business.
Exactly. But this mitzvah, which was his machayev, which he didn't want, you see, because of the fact that what was the machayev? The whole machayev was Hashem. So the machayev is Elokei Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. That was the machayev. Avram, you understand that we always say Yitzchak and Yaakov are not like Avram, not in the same part. Now, the Baruch Hashem, Magen Avram, B'chor Chosni. Avram, Bris Mila, Avram was the one that founded the whole Ummah. So he was the founder of the Ummah. The Ummah was based on the idea, recognition, the true recognition of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And Mitzvah Mila was the mitzvah that represented the whole Ummah. Mitzvah Mila is the mitzvah that represents the whole Ummah. The whole Bris Avram is Mila. So what I'm saying is that because of the fact that he didn't want to go on his mission, you see, he didn't want to go on his shlichus. And the machayev of the shlichus was really the Bris Avram, you see, it was really the Bris Avram. So it resulted in the fact that he was Nisrashel b'mitzvah. It was Nisrashel insofar as that mitzvah which was the machayev is concerned. Then it was Chayev Misa. Arguing, he wasn't Chayev Misa. That apparently is no criticism, the fact that he argued. But that it had an effect on his relationship to the Bris Avram, then Vayvakesh Misa, it was Chayev Misa.
If he was
Chayev Misa, Tagal Araglov, and then he recognized it. That's what saved him. Wouldn't it for that, it would be no Shlichus of Moshe Ben. Yeah. It means to say, what it means to say, look, it means to say that insofar as a person's understanding, he doesn't understand something, he could argue, that's no problem. But if it effectuates a change insofar as his Maisa Mitzvah is concerned, that is no excuse for it. Then he's crying. This Rashel shows there's some kind of resistance. Why is a person this Rashel? He's Misatzel the Mitzvah. What does it mean? It means there's some kind of resistance to it. I'm explaining to you what the resistance was. Resistance was that was exactly what was before, the Machayev. Okay? Paramate of earth. Para said, why are you disturbing this from their work? And he says, no, he says, now it's gonna be worse. He says, they wanna go on a trip, they wanna go on a vacation for 3 days. Okay? So he made it harder. What did he do? He made it harder. He made them go gather straw. So then you see, Vayuku Shotre Ibn Yisrael, or someone in Nokse Farah Lamar. Okay, so you know the whole story there. Nirpim Atam Nirpim. Okay. So then it says that the Shotre Ibn Yisrael, when they saw Moshe and Aaron, so they were angry at them. So Yera Hashem Aleichem V'Yishpot Hashem Ashtem Asrechenu Bnei Farav Bnei Avod Losachav Yerem Largena. So it was more than just an increase in the work. It was really a diminution in their own personal stature. Because a person's an artisan, he doesn't mind doing certain things. But you tell an artisan to go around, scatter around, and pick up straw all over the land, it means he reduces stature. He doesn't mean he can't have any pride in himself as being an individual that has some kind of special talent, you see. So it was more than just an increase in words. Hashem Hashem Asrechenu. Okay, so then it says, Yashem Hashem Ayoma. Hashem, Lama Harayos Lama Zer. Lama Zer Shlachtoni. Why did you do evil to this nation, and why did you send me? And from the time I came to Paro to speak in your name, so he did evil to this nation. And you didn't save this nation, your nation. Okay? So God says, "Yom Hashem, Moshe, Ata Sira Asher Esel Lefara, Ki Yechazak Shalchem Yechazak Gosher Meyatzer." Right? And the answer? I don't know. Okay. So what was Moshe Rabbeinu's problem? Because God told him already before, he's not going to let him go. Vani Adati Kala Yitin Eschem Lachu Tzem Lachu Lo Bi Yechazak. So what did he care? So let him do his shlichus. You go to Paro, and that's it. And God takes care of the rest. Well, what's the problem? Are you better than God's giving you the guarantee? He says, you go, and that's it, and I'm taking care of the rest. You just go to all the missions, go to Paro. What's so hard about that? What's there to fight about? What's there to argue about? Go! Just do this action. What's the big problem? So Paro turned out this way. He didn't believe that he didn't have any emunah. So what? Just because Paro got excited, so that's why he should get worried? So what? Paro went crazy. So what? God's telling you that I'm telling you there's going to be Osas and Mosim, and that's it. There's nothing to worry about here. So what is he concerned about? Difficult. What?
And what's the
Hatzalot Salta? Yeah, Hatzalot Salta. He said he's not going to say it. He said, what's the Hatzalot Salta? He said, Ghaniya Dati Kiwa Yitin Melech Mitzrayim Lecham Alasam Walach Velo Beyachad Venasati Es Yodi Vikasi Es Mitzrayim Bechol Nichlo Sarcher Esmer Bekirba Lach Rechein Shalvesan. So what's the problem? There was no Makkas yet. If the Makkas took place and then it didn't work, then he has a kasha. But there's no Makkas yet. Nothing was done yet. Nothing was done. Okay? Then the Pasuk says, Vaydabra al-Kim Moshe, suddenly your Pasuk, suddenly there's a change of pace. The Pasuk says, after this, Atasir Shes Lefaro, Yochazog Yishalchem, Yochazog Yishalchem, that's it. Vaydabra al-Kim Moshe, Vayyamar Lavani Hashem. Different speech. Voira loving the Yagav Kel Shakai, Yishmiya Shemona Dati Lohem, the Gama Kimosius, Brisi Itam, a whole different thing. God doesn't even address the problem. He just explains that this is a new kind of Gilui Shechina, which didn't exist by the Avos. The Avos only had Ashgacha. But this is a Gilui Shechina, which is a change in the whole Teva, which never happened before. Shmiya Shemona Dati Lohem. You're going to see a different Gilui Shechina than Avram Yitzchak Yaakov saw. They saw Kel Shakai. Kel Shakai is Hashgacha. But Shmi Hashem, to change the laws of nature, that never occurred. That only Moshe Rabbeinu is going to witness. And L'kachti is from La'om and the whole thing. Okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu went right away, and he figured he has a few good statements from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Might as well tell the Am, tell the nation about this. And it says, V'leshamo Moshe, V'ketzer Rucham Eivad HaKosher. They didn't listen to him. Okay, weren't impressed. Okay. Now, okay, so you think by now that after HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, V'eir Alavim Yisrael V'kel Shakai, and the whole thing, the whole Gilui Shechina explained to him, a different kind of Gilui Shechina. So, all right, so now you understand. Now you should understand, right? So what does Moshe say? Vayoma Moshe lefnei Hashem lemo, heim b'nei Yisrael l'shamay alai, ve'ech yishmeini farav, ani aral s'vasayim. Nochamo, again, ani aral s'vasayim. Just explain to me the whole thing, vayra, lavra, yisrael, the whole gili shechina, this is it. Again, he's still with the same problem. Heim b'nei Yisrael l'shamay alai, ve'ech yishmeini farav. And then later it says, explain to me the whole thing, vayra, lavra, yisrael, the whole gili shechina, this is it. Again, he's still with the same problem. Heim b'nei Yisrael l'shamay alai, ve'ech yishmeini farav. And then later it says, then of course the Torah interrupts, Eilu Rashi Vesav Azom, gives the Yichus. The Yichus is so far as the Shlichus was based upon a whole Yichus, okay? And then it comes back. It says, Hey, Nani, Arals for Sion. Leichish my way, Paro. Again, same thing. Okay? So then, Rashi says that really is what he said before. It's the same thing. But it's going back to the subject that Rashi says. Okay, fine. So, alright. So, we don't understand what his kasha is, what Moshe Rabbeinu's problem is, really. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, go and do this action, I'll take care of everything else. You have nothing to worry about. The Nisim, the biggest Nisim, are going to be, going to take place here. Okay? Nope, he's still with the Anir al Sasayim, and how is Paro going to listen? He's not going to listen. Go just tell him the same. What do you want? He says, Yom HaShem HaMoshe, Re'ei Nisaticho Elohim Lefaro, V'ar Nechichi Yin V'yecha. Ata Sedabar Eis Kol Asher Tzaveka, V'ar Nechichi Dabar Paro, Shidduch Esmei Yisrael Me'atza. V'ani Akshas Lei Paro, Beis Yeso Sosa, Vis Mof Sai Beret Tzaseim, V'lo Yishma Lechem Paro, V'nasati Yisrael Mitzrayim. Okay, fine. So now he seems to be okay. All right. He told him that. Well, what is new over here? What is new over here? What did he tell him new? Something new. Now he's happy to go on the shlichus. Seems that what is taking place? Okay. Shah's like this. You see, you have to understand. You see, the thing is that we look at the incident with Moshe Rabbeinu in an unreal way, kind of an imaginary way. You see. The incident of Moshe Rabbeinu has to be understood in a more mature way. You have to understand what exactly was happening there. You see, what was what was, there's one principle. There is one principle which underlies the entire story. That principle, if you have that principle, then you understand what's happening. See, the principle is as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can perform nisus and aflos adain mispah. That's what it's there. And nisus was adain mispah, right? Okay, fine. But there's one thing he doesn't do, and that is to change in any way the Bechira HaAdam HaNishis. Never changes the Bechira HaAdam HaNishis. Okay? Doesn't change man's nature. He doesn't change man's nature. The nisus and the flaws can take place in the Bria and the Teva if it's necessary. It's not something that God does because he likes to do it. But there were times when it was necessary and it had to be done. That was Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. Okay? Had to be done. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed the Bria. Created changes in the Bria. Even there, you see, the changes were still had something to do with the Teva. With the Elah Hashem Ruach Yom Chazat Ma'od and you had Yisa Sa'aba. Yeah. But it's still, you still see traces of Teva there. Not just that. But it was nice. Okay. So at any rate, the thing is, that is all possible. But one thing is impossible. I don't mean impossible in the sense that God can't do it. I mean impossible in the sense that God will not do it. Which means to say the possibility doesn't exist. Okay? The same thing. So, and that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should change the Teva HaAdam. That will never happen. Never did happen and never will happen. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu understood that with all the miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can produce, there's one thing that it can't do. And that is it can't affect a person's Bechira. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was bothered with the problem, how could I possibly take out, what do you mean take out an Ummah from Mitzrayim? Just to take them out. Take them out is nothing, so what do you have? Have an Ummah of Ovdei Avodah Zarah, of Behemoth, and Midbar? What good is that? It's worthless. It has to be an Ummah, it's only an Ummah because of the ideas of the Ummah. It's not an Ummah because it's physically a nation. So Moshe Rabbeinu saw Klal Yisrael was steeped in Memtes Shari Tumah. Like the Malachim said by the Yom, Halalu of Devodah Zarah, Halalu of Devodah Zarah, why are they different? You see? So he saw he has to take this nation, and he has to reach them, but not reach them through miracles, because miracles aren't going to accomplish anything. He has to reach their personalities. He has to be able to open their eyes to the true ideas. You see? What is the pasuk? The pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu says he's going to go for 3 days. What do you mean 3 days? Did that ever happen? He went for 3 days? He's going to go for 3 days and come back? What was that? Was it a ruse? Was it a joke? No. The pshat was, that was really the original plan. The original plan was to make them into a nation, was to take them out into the Midbar for 3 days and to give them ideas concerning Torah. To take them away from the work, the back-breaking labor, which prevented them from thinking, didn't allow them to have time to think, and give them a time where Moshe Rabbeinu can address them and start talking to the nation, start giving them the basic principles of Yadus. And that was, insofar as that plan is concerned, we don't know how many days it would have been. 3 days, then it would have been 3 days, another 3 days, how many days, we don't know how long it would have taken to do it. But definitely the initial plan was to remove them from the situation of Mitzrayim in order to give them the ideas, in order to reach them. In other words, two things. They had to be reached. If you look at the message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe Rabbeinu by the snare, so it says, the pasuk says that V'nasati yischein ha'mazeh b'ini Mitzrayim. V'yak yiselechum osechu reikon. What is chein ha'mazeh b'ini Mitzrayim? It meant that it had to be, in order for the nation to really feel that they're a nation, two things had to take place. One was that to see the true ideas, but there had to be a sociological factor also. They had to be able to have a certain self-respect as a nation and to remove the personal humiliation and degradation of slavery. How was that going to be removed? By the respect that the Egyptians would give to Klal Yisrael, would show towards Klal Yisrael. So it's not the Eschein or Mazeh Bein Yisrael. Without that, they could never be removed from Avdus. See, that's why it says by Bishalach, Parasam, Dak asked the question, why Penyachim Amarasa Muhammad? They weren't ready for Muhammad yet. And the only Muhammad they were able to wage was not a Muhammad in which they were aggressive, but the Muhammad Samalik, which was self-defense. And you see an unbelievable thing by Muhammad Samalik. What was by Muhammad Samalik? It's a strange thing in the Torah. The strangest thing. It says, Moshe Rabbeinu, I still remember as a kid learning that story, I guess. Moshe Rabbeinu, Vahikasha Yor Moshe Yodo, Vigova Yisrael. Right? Vahasha Yaniach, Vigova Amalik. Videi Moshe Kvedim. What a funny story, wasn't it? So the Mishnah asks, the Chiyodov Shel Moshe Osa Muhammad. Moshe Rabbeinu's hands are doing Muhammad. What is a magical thing? He lifts up his hands and wins. What does it mean? So the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu was really a shliach tzibur. He was mispalel. He was a shliach tzibur. So when they saw Moshe Rabbeinu was only the tefillah, so then they were mechin libam la'avin shrash amayim. So then they had the right ideas. But still you'll say, so a shliach tzibur, you have to put two rocks on them, a shliach tzibur to hold his hands up? What's the pshat? The pshat is it was necessary at that time because they were avodim. It's still, even though they were cheres, but a part of them still was an avdus. A part of them still was an avdus. That's why they couldn't wage war against another nation aggressively. Only in self-defense, and they had to see Moshe Rabbeinu Omei B'Tfilah. When they saw Moshe Rabbeinu Omei B'Tfilah, that inspired them. That gave them the inspiration. It was still necessary to have that image of Moshe Rabbeinu. It was very important to them. And he was really, as they put all their emotional strength in Moshe Rabbeinu. You see, because what happened by the eagle? Kizeish Moshe Shalom Sam Wayadana Mahoyalo. You see, emotionally they still needed that strength from a bus of Adam, even though it was Moshe Rabbeinu, but from a bus of Adam. And that's why they had to see that he was Mispalel. But if they didn't see he was Mispalel, so they lost their mood, they lost their courage. That's why the only time he had it was like that, no other time. Okay. So in order to establish the nation, you had to create a people, one, that had the true ideas, and two, that were able to overcome the weakness of slavery, the weakness that slavery imposes on a person, the destructive forces that it causes in a person's character. Okay? So that was the whole process. Turned out it took 40 years to get out of that. But so that was the plan. Now Moshe Rabbeinu, now you understand what it means that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he undertook the mission, it wasn't just to go to Paro and tell him a story. That wasn't the mission. The responsibility that Moshe Rabbeinu placed upon his shoulders was precisely that. It meant that he is going to go to these people who are now in a state of over the Avodah Zarah, and he is going to convince them. He's going to convince them about the true ideas concerning God, about their Masorah, and he's going to create a great nation, an intellectual nation. Mamlachas Kohanim, a great Kadol, Gai Kadosh, Gai Kadol. How is he going to do this? And he can't do it through miracles, because it cannot be done through miracles. It can't change the human personality. God does not change human personality through miracles. And Moshe Rabbeinu understood this. So he knew that it's something that he has to accomplish himself. This is his responsibility. Not only that, but he also has to convert Paro and the Mitzrim, at least insofar as them being able to accord respect to Klal Yisrael, so that they themselves should have a certain self-esteem. That was the mission. And that's why you see the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not change the Bechir of a bus of a dom goes so far that the Rishonim are burdened. The Gemara says, a burden with the fact that Yach Beit Hashem is slave Paro. What's the problem? One person, one Russia. Why can't God change this Russia and control him and cause him to do crazy things? What's wrong? One person, a Russian Russia. One of the Russian Shayim. Why? The answer is, it is against God's will to intervene ever with any human being with his Bechira Chashis. It's an interesting thing. So therefore, all the Nisim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do couldn't really help Moshe Rabbeinu on his mission. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to go on, didn't want to assume the responsibility. It was a tremendous responsibility. It was a realistic responsibility. That's why I said, I can't do this. I'm not an initiative arm. I don't have the ability to do this. You're sending me on something I can't do. I have to assume responsibility that will convince these people. You need somebody who can talk to the people who can do this. I can't do this job. Okay? There's another thing you see. You see the fact that he argued with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That itself sounds wild to us. But anybody argue with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, a Kadosh Baruch Hu came to somebody and said, look, I want you to go and do this. You're going to take Klal Yisrael, and you're going to bring them all back to Eretz Yisrael. May Abba come for us, all right. Jump, run, right away. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu argue with a Kadosh Baruch Hu? How could he argue with a Kadosh Baruch Hu? How could Avraham Avinu argue with a Kadosh Baruch Hu? What kind of thing? Where do you have people portraying their greatest leader as arguing with their Bnei Shalom? It sounds funny. It sounds crazy. What's the answer? The answer is because we don't have the proper notion of Nevuah. We think of Nevuah as like a mystical kind of thing. All of a sudden, boom, he has a prophecy. He's going to run, and that's it. There's no such thing. It doesn't work that way. The Moshe Rabbeinu's Bechira Chofshis was never impaired either. And Navi functions normally, just like we function. There's no difference in his nature, in the Navi's nature. When he receives a Nevuah, then a regular person's nature. And so far as his nature, you see there's a Lach of Kovesh Nevuasa. There's an Isra. Navi's not allowed to refrain from giving out his Nevuah. Now, he's not allowed to be kovish nevuasa. What do you mean he's not allowed to be? What kind of, who needs a halacha like that? A person going to be a navi is going to be kovish nevuasa? Well, that sounds crazy. How is that possible? What's the answer? The answer is because the navi is no different than anybody else in that respect. A navi is a person that operates, functions normally. He's not in a mystical state where he ceases to be able to function like a human being and loses bechira. It's not. He functions normally. Moshe Rabbeinu was even peh. Regular Navi is b'chalom adababo, but then afterwards he can't do that. Moshe Rabbeinu is peh. So Moshe Rabbeinu, even b'shas is receiving the Nevuah, he's still functioning as a human being. Nothing interfered. Regular Navi, b'shas, he receives the Nevuah, so he's not. But then later he could do, he has Bechira. Like by Yonah. So what it means is, That's why did Moshe Rabbeinu argue? Why do you have a right to argue? He had a right to argue. Just like the whole essence of a person is to understand things through knowledge, the Navi is mechuyev to understand his mission through knowledge. Just like a regular person learns a piece of Gemara, the Navi learns his Nevuah. If he has a kasha, he has to ask a kasha. If he disagrees, he has to disagree. It's not an abnormal process. That's why the Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim says, people don't understand what it means, but he says Nevuah is a natural process. It's a natural process. Sounds funny, that's a natural process. What it means to say is there's nothing abnormal insofar as the human being is concerned when a Navi is receiving Nevuah. So just like if a person's learning a Tesis, a person will say, I'll still learn Tesis. Tesis Akasha, I understand what Tesis is talking about. No. I believe Tesis. I have to believe Tesis. Tesis Akasha is right Akasha. Tesis is right Akasha. That's worthless. It's not learning. The same thing with Nevuah. Moshe Rabbeinu Bishasi receives the Nevuah, he's mechuyev to argue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avraham Avinu Bishasi receives the Nevuah, he's mechuyev to argue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never interferes with the normal function of the human personality. The only difference between a Navi and us is, a Navi has a different range, a different sphere of operation that's not open to us. But in that sphere of operation, he functions just like we do in ours. You see, yes. So therefore, by Bilam, as a matter of fact, Bilam really shows is the exception that proves the rule, because Bilam really, what was it? Bilam wasn't Roy for Nevuah, but you see that Bilam really did have some tremendous insight. Noam Bilam b'no Baruch Hashem Machaveh Shaka Yechazeh Nofel Gluy Noyim. So they praise his Mara. I explained that once, that Bilam Harusha was not intrinsically Roy for Nevuah. He only received Nevuah as a means for Klal Yisrael. But since it wasn't a natural process with him, he was overawed by it. And he was overawed by the Nevuah, and because he was a great intellect, he was able to see. But his nature was not that of a Navi, and it only suffered a momentary change because the effect was unnatural. And that's why you see the moment the Nevuah was withdrawn from him, it was a rush and they killed him. He returned to his rishis, which shows you that a person can never attain any greatness from an external phenomenon, only from an internal source, where he himself changes his nature. And Bilam never accomplished that. You see? That's why he had a momentary vision. He was a great mind, he was a great chacham, there's no question about that. And because of the awe of the awesome situation, he directed his mind towards the perception of God. In that moment, he was functioning like a tzaddik. But it was an artificial situation, you see. His mind wasn't really directed towards those things. On the contrary, the Pasuk says, and Yitmi Balat Malo Beso Kesef is off. That's what he was really interested in. He wasn't really interested. Even though he had a great mind, he wasn't interested in the truth. That's the case of Bilam. Okay. Now you see what Moshe Rabbeinu was complaining about, you see. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him in advance, "Ani yadati ki leitnes chamel sham lahalach lo b'yakazoka v'shlachti," he said, in the case of Mitzrayim, it's all wonderful. All the miracles are wonderful. Fine. I don't know how God is going to bring about the miracles, but it's not going to help the situation. My responsibility is not miracles. My responsibility is to change people, to reach Klal Yisrael, and to reach Paro. So he saw that he went, the first mission he goes, and what happens? The whole thing collapses, worse than before. Because, on the contrary, rather than Klal Yisrael getting closer to him, in terms of a leader, and being able to even be prone to listening towards him, they hate him. And Paro got wilder, he got crazier. So the whole thing fell apart. That's why he says, "Hashem, Lomazeh shlachtani, umeyos basio paro l'dabar b'shmecha heiro lomazeh, v'atil etzalto samecha." The whole thing is crazy. So the whole thing is just the opposite. He wasn't talking about the miracles. The miracles won't help. The miracles won't help. Okay? So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes into... It got worse. Now they have to fight. Yeah, right. More work. It's even worse. And not only that, but the antagonism towards Moshe and Aaron. How can you reach people when they're antagonistic? They hate you already. Despise you. These are gonna, now he's going to reach them. It's bad enough because he wasn't a good speaker. Now they hate him. Personal hatred. Okay. So, at any rate, HaKadosh Baruch Hu expands on the fact of the Nisan, that there will be a Gula, And then he says, then Moshe Rabbeinu said, fine, it's all very nice, but it's still no good. He says, "Hein b'nei Yisroel, one of the ten kavachamim of the Talmud." In there, "Hein b'nei Yisroel, shall my lie." I'm telling you, things that they should want to hear, and they didn't listen. "Veich yishmai lai paro," so that's totally impossible. Okay. So, anyways, so what was the answer? It's interesting. What was the answer? The answer was like this. "Vaydam Hashem Moshe reini saticha lim lefarav anichich yen v'yecha atos edaber." Okay. Again. But over here, the one that gives the what is different between in these statements and the ones before, Rashi explains. You see? Rashi says like this. He says, "Vani aksha me'acha shehershia v'hisris kenegdi v'golu l'fonai she'in achas ruch b'umos avodas alilim lases leif shalim lashu." Totally, she is kasha libo. He says she is kasha libo. The man habos bo ososai v'sakiru es v'rosai. The chen midasa shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mevi puronius al ha'umos ovdei alilim kidei sheyishmu yisroel v'yirov. Shenema, echrati goyim nashamu pinyosam. Amarti achtiri yosim. It's going to be makas. Makas don't mean anything. It's not going to help many. But over here he told him a connection between the makas and between the Geula. What was the connection? The connection was that the purpose of them, I want the Makkos, in other words, that Klal Yisrael should be able to learn Musa from the Makkos. That the Makkos aren't just, like you think, in order to remove the Jews from Egypt. But it's really, the Makkos are going to contain in them certain ideas, certain lessons that Klal Yisrael are going to be able to derive from the Makkos. Certain ideas from the Makkos. These aren't just Stam Makkos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened up a little more. He revealed a little more of his plan. Then Moshe Rabbeinu went. Okay, it's a different idea. So now we understood. But in the first encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he didn't understand. Makkos aren't going to help. So now you see like this. So now the question is, the question is, what, we have to ask one question now. How, in fact, was it, if the first, the original plan was really to take them out for 3 days, that wasn't simply a phony thing, it was true. It was supposed to take them out for 3 days in order to teach them. So in order to make humor. So how did it happen that they went out without the 3 days? How is it possible they went out without the 3 days? Gossip, right? So what's the answer? The answer is one time we spoke about it. The answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu devised another means. Really, Paro had Bechira, and he could have really let them go for 3 days. And then they would have gone out without the Makos. Wouldn't need the Makos. They'd go out because of the fact that they would really attain the true ideas. And what happened is Paro would recognize them as an Umar. And the Rav one time mentioned that really HaKadosh Baruch Hu originally wanted that Paro and the triumph should be Kabbal Torah too. Because the prophet says that Moshe Ben said to Paro, Gam atah titein b'yedein zvachim v'olos, v'zavach Moshem alakeinim, you should also bring kabbalas. So you see that was the original plan? But Paro turned it down because of his Bechira, Haneshis, and therefore that plan had to be scrapped. You see? Now, what was the new plan? The new plan was like this. The new plan was really a different method of reaching Klal Yisrael. It was a different method. What was the method? The method was Pesach Mitzrayim. Pesach Mitzrayim was the mitzvahs. Pesach Mitzrayim was a different method. It was the mitzvahs. The mitzvah, the halachic medium was used to reach Klal Yisrael. That's why it says, the Ra'isiyas Adam ufasachti alechem. So what I say, the Dom really was Voy Adam Lachem Laos. The Dom was not a mystical thing. It wasn't on the outside of the door. It was on the inside. It was not on the outside. What was the Dom? So Chazal say, the Ra'isiyas Adam. What do you mean Ra'isiyas Adam? A kol goli lefana. Is it Dom? I'll see the Yasukim in the Mitzvah. I see the Yosek and the mitzvahs, that's what Sefer Yisrael. Sefer Yisrael is not blood on doppers. Sefer Yisrael is the mitzvah. The mitzvah of doing exactly what the halacha told them to do. The halacha ksuda that they had in the Mitzrayim, after Chatzos HaLaila. You see? So the halacha was the medium that was used to change the people's emotions. For instance, you see the pasuk says, Mishchu Chulas Chantzon. Wasn't it Mishchu Chulas Chantzon? So Chazal says, "Mishchu yedechem mitzon liavod azara, mitzon shel avod azara, v'kulachem mitzon shel mitzvah." Because the tzon was the avod azara of the Egyptians. So the whole idea of the carbon pesach was to remove in sacrifice, which is the greatest medium of avod azara, sacrifice. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu how to tell Klal Yisrael, teach Klal Yisrael, to take this sacrifice and make it into a halachic entity. And to remove the tumat of Avodah Zarah, to remove Avodah Zarah, and to raise a person to a higher level through keeping the halacha, through understanding what halacha is, chachmas halacha. That was the method that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will use. And you see that they had to take the tzon, that Shabbos HaGadol, 4 days in advance, and in the face of the mitzvah who worshipped it as a god, and they still had to have the courage to be able to do that. To be attached to the mitzvah, the chesed shel mitzvah, and take the very object, which is their avodah zarah, and to slaughter it. You see? That was the method. A whole different method had to be devised by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mishchu yedechem avodah zarah, chulachem tzon shel mitzvah, and that was ultimately a different plan had to be enacted, a different plan. The first plan had to be discarded, because the first plan, Paro was the one that rejected the first plan. But it wasn't just on a, some an idea. That we're going to go for 3 days, and this was false. Okay.